I proved to myself that my results in the gym, my results when it comes to life in general, were ultimately in my hands. So I could show up being the weak guy without any training experience and feeling really self-conscious and not feeling comfortable. And I could transform my mindset and transform my body with hard work.
My name is Leif Arneson. My brother Anders and I are on a mission to help 1 million vegans get into the best shape of their lives. We firmly believe that the more healthy and fit vegans there are in the world, the faster veganism will spread. Let's work together to inspire change, spread compassion, and challenge the status quo. Welcome to the Vegan Gym Podcast.
So you hosted a really awesome call last night for our Next Level Momentum members in our Vegan Superhero Academy. What was that topic and what did you really want people to get out of that?
Leif, last night we talked about turning struggles into strengths and I framed it using an acronym. So I took the word struggle and made each letter a different phrase that people can think about as they're going through struggles. And what I wanted people to leave that call realizing is that struggles are not things to run away from, but struggles help you become stronger.
And that really kind of inspired this episode, and specifically a woman, a member of our program, who hopped on partway through the call and shared her experience so far through VSA, our Vegan Superhero Academy. So she's been in the program for about a year and a half, and she said that she felt like she came in with all of these goals, and all of the goals were physical goals. I want to lose weight. I want to feel more confidence in a bathing suit. I want to look good in this pair of jeans that I haven't been able to wear for years. So she came in with all these physical goals, and she felt like she was making slow progress for the first year because she was looking at it through a physical lens. And then she said, now looking back on that, and specifically that first year in our program, she felt like it was really important to build a foundation to set her up for future success in her health and fitness journey. And she felt like she spent most of her time accumulating mental wins over that first year. And she said how she felt like she should be making more physical progress, but what she realized now that she was overlooking was the importance of building a really strong foundation in the context of her mental transformation that she was experiencing. So what were your thoughts as she was sharing kind of her experience?
That was the G. So after we talked about the acronym, I just asked the group, what do you, you know, how is this going to change how you face struggles? And she focused on growth. And what she was really articulating was the concept of growth mindset. So her mental foundation was a prerequisite to her being successful with her physical transformation. And that is what I heard her articulating to the group. And I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, it was really well said. And I thought it was really powerful. And that's what inspired this episode. And while she was sharing, her words really reminded me of the famous quote by Abraham Lincoln, where he said, "Give me 6 hours to chop down a tree and I will spend the first four sharpening the axe." Now, if you try to chop down a tree with a dull blade and brute force and you just walk up and start attacking it without taking the time at the beginning to, as Abraham Lincoln said, sharpen the blade, then you're probably going to get burned out. You probably won't make great progress. And there's a good chance that you won't even end up being able to chop down the tree. The same thing applies to your health and fitness journey. When you get your mind right, which is the act of sharpening the blade, that's really the first part. And then everything else follows. So one thing that I used to say a lot was that once you get your mind right, your body will follow. So once we focus on making those mental shifts and accumulating those mental wins, not that your physical progress or journey needs to come after that, but often the big physical wins and changes tend to be on the other side of the mental breakthroughs.
And it's necessary for sustainability. I think without that mindset shift, even if you made huge changes initially, it's hard to sustain them. So it is a prerequisite for success, no matter how you look at it.
And when I look back over my journey, when I first started in the gym, I was this skinny 18-year-old guy, and I had just graduated high school. I was 130 pounds. I was really just a stick that could run decently well. And I wanted to be more confident, and I really had a strong feeling that the gym was the answer to building that confidence. And as a cross-country runner, I was always running by other athletes as we would go around our track and do our workouts and run around the school campus. And I would run by these other athletes, specifically football players and lacrosse players. And all of these guys were bigger and stronger than me. And they seemed to just really ooze confidence. They were kind of the classic jocks in school. And they were the ones who were just seemed to be more outgoing, more confident. And I really wanted to build some of that confidence. So seeing guys like these lacrosse players and football players, or just seeing other bodybuilder type people who just seemed like they had that confidence, I just felt like the gym was the answer for building that. And so in the summer before college, I started going to the gym. And when I first started going to the gym, I felt extremely self-conscious. And I felt out of my place. It didn't feel like a comfortable environment whatsoever, let alone the pain of lifting weights. Just being there was a struggle and was painful. And that was made all the more challenging by the fact that I did not at all look like I belonged there. I was super skinny and did not look like I lifted weights. So I started my journey by reading bodybuilding.com forums to understand how people were training. And then I just showed up at the gym and tried to kind of apply what I read online. And I, for the first few years, I really just learned through trial and error. And my training wasn't very effective. Looking back, I kind of cringe at some of the movements and probably the form that I had for pretty much every movement. And it took me a really long time to learn through trial and error, which is why I'm such a big proponent of coaching. But through that process, I built the right mindset. And I made far more mental progress than physical progress over those first few years of my training journey. And over the course of the first few years, some of the big mental wins that I had were proving to myself that, one, I was someone who showed up every day, even when I didn't want to. That was something that I kind of took from my cross-country training. You kind of show up every day. Sometimes you have a crappy workout. Sometimes you have a really bad race, but you still show up every day and put in the work. So I took that same kind of principle and applied it to the gym. And I lifted really tiny weights and didn't feel good about it, but I showed up every day and put the effort in. Number two, I proved to myself that I was capable of making progress and lifting weights that I didn't think were possible for me when I first started. So I got into the gym, I was lifting tiny little baby weights. You know, those 3-pound dumbbells that are like the pink ones that they have on the side.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of the starting point. You need to start right there. So you start at these kind of tiny little weights and you just work your way up. And that's one thing that I've always really loved about the gym is there's kind of always a heavier weight and the progression there can be really linear. And if you're training properly and you're fueling your body properly with nutrition and you have the right form, you can build up over time and just kind of make your way down the weight rack or add more weight onto a barbell exercise or anything like that. So I could very clearly prove to myself that, hey, I just moved from 10-pound weights to 15-pound weights, from 15-pound weights to 20-pound weights, etc. And so I could prove to myself through that process that I was capable of making progress. And then three, I proved to myself that it was possible for me to transform my body from this skinny runner that I really identified with at the beginning of my journey to someone with a more muscular athletic build. And that took a long time. So it took me a long time to kind of accumulate those wins, but it only took a few months to start noticing at least the initial changes. And in hindsight, I could have made progress much faster if I had been training properly and eating properly, but I was still making enough progress where it felt like I was proving to myself that it was possible for me to make this physical transformation. And then number four, and this is arguably the biggest one, is I proved to myself that my results in the gym, my results when it comes to life in general, were ultimately in my hands. So I could show up being the weak guy without any training experience and feeling really self-conscious and not feeling comfortable. And I could transform my mindset and transform my body with hard work. So ultimately, anything that I wanted to accomplish was possible. And that didn't mean that it would be done in the timeline that I would ideally want it to be accomplished, but I could go and accomplish these goals by just working hard and showing up every day. So those were kind of the four main mental wins that I had over those first few years of training that really set me up for long-term success and really changed my life in a profound way.
And so Leif, it's interesting to hear because it's nice for you to be able to reflect back and see and chronicle that journey, because a lot of people think you go into the gym, you make great progress, but you were able to change your body and your mind. Can you just tell me what does mindset mean to you? What is mindset?
What is mindset? That's a deep question.
Sorry. how did you go from being the runner looking in to being that person who was, manifested the confidence and the commitment to be successful at everything you attempted? You went from the cross-country runner who was looking at the lacrosse players and the football players to being one of them, but it wasn't just a physical change. You had to go through something internal, but sometimes we don't put a word to that or we don't define what that really is.
Yeah, I often use the term mental grit, or we've called it warrior mindset, really building the ability to show up and do hard things, especially when the deck is stacked against you and you have a lot of self-doubt. And that's kind of how I would define mental grit, is just the ability to show up and do hard things in the face of adversity. And that's been, I feel like there are lots of hard things that I've pushed through. And I've always been amazed by the fact that looking back over my life, I am most grateful for the challenges. And I am most appreciative of the hardest periods in my life, because I know without those, I would not be the person I am today. I would not be a person who is capable of accomplishing the goals that I have set today.
And that is exactly what the purpose of our next level call was last night. To frame, you said it 100%. It's those struggles set you up to be who you are today, but it also meant that your mindset is not static. It's not something that you're born with. It is something that is malleable and can be developed and grown just like a muscle can. It's a muscle that you need to build and you need to work, and that the challenges that you come through in life are partly challenging your mindset to enable that growth.
Yeah, well said, and I completely agree. I think I've gotten the impression over the last few years in particular, after having hundreds of conversations with people, mostly through the lens of kind of health and fitness, but I've gotten the impression that I had just as many limiting beliefs and kind of mental roadblocks as the average, if not more than average. And that takes time to work through. I think it's easy to look at people who have accomplished goals that you aim to accomplish and say or think, well, must be easy for that person. They must not be experiencing all of the same kind of mental challenges that I'm experiencing, or they must have been able to just flip a switch and change who they are. And I have seen zero evidence to support that being possible. I think everyone who has accomplished great things and accomplished the goals that you have set to accomplish has had to overcome plenty of their own challenges to get to that place. And I think that's how you accumulate mental wins. And the only way you are going to change your mindset is by confronting and overcoming struggles.
100% agree. So what are some other examples of mental wins that you can share with people listening? I mean, you articulated several that you experienced in your journey, but what are some additional ones that maybe you have encountered or other people may experience?
So yeah, some kind of like general mental wins that I think are really big, just to give some other examples beyond the few that I shared in my personal experience. Believing I can do hard things. I think that's really kind of at the top of my list. Building that belief in yourself, building self-belief. I think I'm not sure that the self-doubt ever totally goes away, but building self-belief to the point where that self-belief overshadows your self-doubt, that's been really big in my life. I think another example is feeling like I deserve to accomplish my goals because I am showing up, I'm putting in the work, and I'm willing to do hard things. Having the mental fortitude to push through challenges and adversity, building that mental grit. And I actually said on the team call yesterday in the chat, I said, I have actually gotten to the point in my life where I am uncomfortable being comfortable because I know that nothing grows inside of my comfort zone. So if I'm spending too much time in my comfort zone, and for the record, I love watching movies. I love going out and eating food that may not 100% align with my goals. And that's okay. But staying in a sustained state of comfort is uncomfortable to me because I know that does not align with the person I ultimately want to become. So if I spend too much time in my comfort zone, I'm not growing. And I think there's a lot of truth to the statement, if you're not growing, you're dying. And that's kind of how I have lived my life, especially over the last few years.
That's an interesting observation because it's easy to stay in your comfort zone. It's why people stay in bad relationships. It's why people stay in jobs they hate. It's why, you know, comfort is, you know what's happening. You can anticipate the outcomes. How do you push yourself outside of that comfort zone? Or how do you know when it's time, when you're like, well, maybe it's time to try something new? Because we could all just stay in our comfort zone for the next 50 years and maybe not accomplish the big things. But what is the impetus to move from a nice, warm, comfy bed out into the cold?
Yeah, a few things. So I think it's important to, what you just mentioned actually made me want to clarify that not all sources of discomfort are positive. So you brought up the example of working in a job that you hate or being in a relationship that you don't feel is serving you. Okay, you might be in a place of discomfort for those two things, but that's not a positive place to live. So I should clarify that I'm talking about sources of discomfort that you can clearly and objectively categorize as moving you closer toward the person you want to become. So let's add that caveat.
Okay.
as far as building the abilities to do that, I love working to begin my day with the hardest thing. Brian Tracy, a famous author and public speaker, calls this eating the frog. I'm not sure if he coined the term, actually, maybe not, but he wrote a book on it. And I understand that's not vegan, but eating crap, basically, that's, you could use that term instead. So you show up and you do the most difficult thing first in your day. And then, relatively speaking, everything else is easier. So that, showing up and always doing the most difficult thing first, which is why I love training in the morning. Typically, contrary to maybe popular belief, I usually don't love training. It's usually a grind to get myself to the gym and push myself in a workout. And I'm constantly, if I really, the only place I talk to myself is in the gym. and I tell myself,
you can do it.
Yeah. I give myself a kick in the ass between a lot of sets. So as I was just doing some deficit deadlifts today and I don't enjoy them. Like I love them for the results that I know that they generate, but so I've got basically a massive love-hate relationship with pretty much every aspect of the gym. Deficit deadlifts, squats, whatever. So I show up and I do the hard things at the beginning of the day. For me, one of the hardest things is getting to the gym and doing a really tough training session. And I push myself hard. Mm-hmm. So that's one example. And then when I go through and I write out my power list for the following day, I will order them in terms of what is the most pressing thing that needs to be addressed, which tends to be the most difficult one and the one that I would probably rather push to the end of the day slash
another
maybe
day.
Have it fall over into the next day. So that's another example. It's just always showing up and raising your hand and saying, this is going to be hard, but it aligns with my goals and I'm going to do it. And I'm going to focus on doing this first. I'm going to eat the frog. I'm going to eat the crap first. And that is going to drive me toward my goals.
Okay.
So that's kind of how I view it. And I always, this is all just what works for me. So take it with a grain of salt, determine what works for you. But another thing that has really worked for me is whenever I feel like I am maybe getting a little too comfortable, I will force myself to do something uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. For example, I've done this a lot with races, like endurance races that I'll sign up for. And that usually comes in the form of, hey, I feel like I'm getting a little comfortable here, so I'll sign up for an Ironman. Uh-huh. Or whatever that is. Hey, I just need to kind of get myself a kick in the butt. And I found that works really well with races because when I do that, I'll register for the race. So there's some financial commitment. And then I have a set date, so it's time bound. And then I will tell other people about it even before I start training, so I know I have to follow through. So that's another example of how I just kind of manufacture discomfort.
Got it.
In my life. So yeah, I know that's not going to resonate with everyone, and people might hear that and think that's pretty intense. And I look at guys like David Goggins and think, wow, that's super intense. That's more than I care to do. And I think that's perfectly fine. So you need to find what works for you. But yeah, showing up, doing the hard things first, and prioritizing your day in a way where you always are making sure the hard stuff gets done, and then seeking discomfort and at times even kind of manufacturing discomfort to keep yourself moving forward. And I now use the gym more as a tool to continue sharpening my mind than my body. I'd like to continue building muscle and getting stronger, and I'm going to be pushing hard, especially over the next few months, to get things on track with that. But really, even with that, the main thing that I'm trying to get from my training is continuing to build that mental grit. Because just like your bicep, your brain needs consistent training to stay strong. And if you get to a certain place with your mental wins and your mindset, and then say, oh, I made it, now time to chill, you're going to start heading in the opposite direction. So what are you doing to continue showing up and seeking discomfort to even just maintain the mental grit that you have built? It's imperative from my experience.
Thank you. That's helpful.
What about you?
I would say the same. I mean, I enjoy going to the gym, but I actually think it's for the reason that you mentioned. There's a mental clarity I get when I'm working out, and it's someplace where I can choose to push myself. I mean, I know, I think we've talked about affirmations. I think the gym is one place where I do use affirmations occasionally, whether it's stronger, faster, or just something that I can use to latch onto to keep driving myself. But by building up that mental toughness in the gym, I agree it translates into the rest of your life, because I feel first thing in the morning, if I can go in and I can knock out something really hard, it's toughened me up, I can go take care of the rest of the day. But you need to keep pushing, because you'll atrophy if you don't continue to build that muscle.
Yeah, I use, I don't know that I would call them affirmations. It's more just like kind of yelling at myself. But I use that, and then also I listen to some like heavier music, and both of those combined are really helpful to me. And I forget where I was listening to a podcast with David Goggins, which is why he was kind of top of mind in the last week. And I think this is from that podcast. He doesn't do many podcasts, but this is one from a few years ago when he was launching his latest book, I guess like a year and a half ago. And I think it was him. He made some comment about how he doesn't listen to music when he's working out because it makes it easier. And I thought, that's pretty hardcore. And I totally agree. That's been my experience, and all the power to you, but I'm going to keep using music because I kind of need it. So I don't know. You just kind of have to find what works for you. And you don't, I think people like David Goggins are just really
unique.
A different kind of person. And I think I'm all about seeking discomfort, but I'm also going to make it as easy as possible to win. So in an environment like the gym, it's already hard enough. I don't need to make it. I'm at the gym. It's early in the morning. I'm pushing myself, getting my workout done when I almost certainly don't want to be doing it. And I feel like the last thing I need to add to that pile is taking away music or something like that. I don't know. I think it comes back to just, you need to find out what works for you. But hopefully that's helpful in explaining kind of how I view challenges and how I've worked to seek discomfort. So kind of getting back to the mental win examples, we have another one would be trusting the process, especially when the road is long and uncertain. What are you doing? I think in health and fitness, a great example of this is, let's say you have a coach and your coach creates a training plan and nutrition plan for you and tells you, hey, just show up every day and do X, Y, and Z, and we can work through those challenges together, and I'm here for you every step of the way. But you just show up, do these things, and you're eventually going to accomplish your goals. Let's talk about our health and fitness journey as an example. Focusing on the fundamentals of nutrition and training and just showing up every day and executing on those is trusting the process. Whether you have a coach or not, just showing up every day and just focusing on the fundamentals, not just jumping to one fad diet and then the other, or messing around with a ton of different training styles, unless that's what you want to do and you're trying to find something that a training modality that you love most. But trusting the process, I think, is really important, and building a mindset of trust in the process is important. Another one would be feeling proud of what I've accomplished, even though I'm not where I ultimately want to be, and continuing to believe that I can get there. That's a really big one. So when it comes to my goals for the vegan gym, when it comes to my fitness goals, I really feel like I'm only a fraction of the way there. And even though I have not accomplished my ultimate goals, I've accomplished some cool milestones and I'm proud of what I've accomplished. And I also know that my larger goals are possible and I'm going to continue pushing towards those. So just getting, and I understand this is a lot easier said than done, but getting to a place where you, let's use weight loss as an example. If you have the goal of losing 50 pounds and you're 10 pounds down and a few months into your journey, being able to say, hey, I know I'm not where I ultimately want to be, but I'm putting in the work and I'm partway through that process and I've accomplished some cool milestones. I think that's a really positive mind space to occupy. I'm constantly working to push myself and seek discomfort, but I'm also proud of what I've accomplished and acknowledge my wins in a way that feels just really genuine and helpful to me. And I don't spend too much time kind of celebrating the milestones and focusing on that. I think that's also not something that I would generally maybe recommend across the board, but that's something that has worked for me. It kind of helps me to maintain the hunger for the next milestone, the next goal.
But you do have to recognize your accomplishments. So, I mean, I think your point is well taken that you don't dwell there, but you, if your journey's long, you need to have those little milestones where you can celebrate because it's a long path.
Do any of those other kind of mental wins really speak to you?
I think probably the only thing I would add in addition to at least a mental win for me has been reaching out for help. So for me, knowing when I had exceeded my capacity to make progress on my own and knowing I needed a coach because coaches sometimes need coaches. So knowing that, you know, you can power through, you can try and reach your goals, but occasionally having that outside influence and just someone to be accountable for, with, to help you, I think that's another, it's a mental win for me because asking for help has always been hard.
So I didn't, you asked me, how do I define mindset? I'm wondering if you have kind of a definition for mindset or how you would kind of define that.
No, I think I was asking you in part because it's always been this, it's a word that is used a lot. People use the word mindset a lot. And I think of it as kind of who what I believe, what I think, how I feel, my personal mental framework for how I see the world is my mindset. But it's something that can expand and it's something that I think can grow. But I wanted to make sure that I listened to so many people use words and not define what that means to them. I just wanted to make sure that anyone listening had some concept of what we think of as mindset.
Yeah, I think you touched on a lot of important parts of how I would view mindset, but that is a difficult word to kind of wrap your head around. There's kind of a lot packed into that. Kind of like define your mind. That could take I guess we have psychologists who have invested their lives into working on that.
Exactly. There are definitions from people like Carol Dweck and others, but yes, I think we're aligned in where we think mindset is.
Yeah. Do you have one of those definitions? I'm just curious.
I mean, a definition I looked up was that mindset refers to the established set of attitudes held by someone. It encompasses the beliefs, thought processes, and predispositions to behave in certain ways that a person adopts, which in turn influences how they perceive and respond to situations and challenges.
Yeah, I think that's about as good as I could do if you lock me in a room for a couple of days. So, all right, we'll go with that. But yeah, those are some examples of mental wins, and the list is really endless. For me, a lot of it comes back to developing what we would call a growth mindset, which after talking about the definition of a mindset, maybe I can't fully define, but I can give you maybe that's kind of why we're talking about examples here, because it's easier to give examples of what this kind of mindset means to us than it is trying to define what does mindset mean, or what exactly does a growth mindset, what is the definition of a growth mindset? So another example of some mental wins would be developing a growth mindset, understanding that your ability, results, and success can be developed with effort, learning, and persistence. It comes back to what you were talking about with, you are not pre-programmed with certain beliefs or abilities that are unchanging and are just kind of hardwired with no ability to improve. Your mindset is not hardware, it's software.
Exactly.
And you can constantly upgrade that software over time. So that's really kind of the foundation of a growth mindset. I think another one would be viewing setbacks not as failures, but as valuable feedback for improvement and growth. It's the whole idea of embracing failures as learning opportunities, which I think is absolutely critical to building and growing a positive mindset that's going to help you accomplish your goals, whether it's in fitness and health or anything else. And this has taken me some time to accomplish. And when I experience failure or I hit roadblocks, I'm probably pretty similar to any other normal person who kind of could experience some frustration or maybe anger about a certain experience that I have to go through. So it doesn't mean that I immediately just say, oh, here's a really terrible situation, or here's a failure, or here's a massive challenge that stands in my path. Okay, great. Let's work to problem solve and overcome it. Like, there's, I try to make that initial frustration period as small as possible. So I guess that's the thing I'm trying to work on, is I went from probably weeks to days and now trying to work down to hours. But I think that's a really important mental shift to be able to have, is viewing failures as learning opportunities. And that might not happen immediately when faced with a failure, especially if it's really personal or something that kind of really hurts or is really overwhelming, but you can eventually get there. And I think how quickly you can get there is an important thing to keep in mind as well, and work to kind of improve. We've already talked about embracing challenges as opportunities for growth and learning rather than sources of potential failure. Focusing on the process rather than solely on outcomes. This comes back to being able to trust the process. And even though you might not be where you ultimately want to be, you are on the path, and that's what matters. So focus on the process, focus on that journey, focus on showing up every day and putting in effort, however small, and however much you kind of get from that daily incremental effort. Just continue stringing together those wins and showing up every day, and you're going to accomplish some really big results over the long term. I think self-compassion is really important. It kind of gets back to what I was talking about with being proud of what I've accomplished, even though I'm not where I ultimately want to be. So treat yourself with kindness and understanding during difficult times rather than with harsh self-criticism. This is something I'm still working on. I tend to be pretty self-critical, and that's just something that I've kind of been working on, but I've gotten a lot better, especially over the last few years. I think some other ones would be celebrating small victories. So again, this kind of stems back to being able to acknowledge the wins along the way. So taking pride in the small achievements, which cumulatively lead to significant progress and those long-term wins.
1% better.
Yeah. Yeah. Showing up and just getting a little bit better every day is really the path there. I think avoiding comparing your journey to others, avoid getting stuck in the comparison trap where you say, okay, well, Jenny is doing a lot better than I'm doing at X, Y, and Z. I think that's really unhelpful. And the way that I've shifted my perspective in that area is, instead of looking at people and comparing myself to them or feeling jealous of what they have accomplished that I have not accomplished, is I view them and is I look at them and view that as inspiration. So I see, hey, Jenny accomplished this. Awesome. if she can do this, then I can do this as well. She has proven that this is possible. I think one of the classic examples of this is Roger Bannister breaking the 4-minute mile. You had milers working to break the 4-minute mile for decades. And so many people saying this is not possible, the human body is going to implode or whatever if you break 4 minutes for a mile. And then Roger Bannister did it, and I forget the exact number, but it was like 50 something people did it in the next year, because they say, wow, Roger did this. He proved that he's not going to implode before he gets to the finish line, maintaining this sub 4 minute pace. So I can do this.
Exactly.
It's possible for me. And that's really how I try to look at other success. So you've accomplished something that I want to, and that is awesome. That inspires me. Thank you for proving that this is possible. And also keep in mind that it's not fair to yourself to compare your day 13 to someone else's year 13.
Exactly.
And this is easy to do in the gym. But if I had walked into the gym on day one and I'm this scrawny little cross country runner, and I look at the biggest guy in the gym and say, wow, why am I even here? What's the point? Or just looking at that and comparing myself in a way that's going to impede future action that I would otherwise be taking to head in that direction and accomplish my goals. It's just, it doesn't serve you. So keep that in mind. Whenever I'm starting something new, whenever I'm trying like new things or trying to learn a new skill, I work hard at it, but I don't compare my day one to someone else's year one or someone else's year 10. It's not helpful to you.
No. And social media has made it more challenging, because you see those examples of things that are aspirational, but you have to remember that that person also had a day one. So learn from them, but don't use that as you are possible. So it's not impossible. It's I'm possible.
Yes. And I think it's also important, speaking of social media, to understand that not everything you see online is true.
No, that is
true. So I think this is especially big in kind of the entrepreneurship world. I don't know, if you just search like hashtag entrepreneur on Instagram or something, you'll see a bunch of people sitting in front of a rented Lamborghini or a rented plane or something like that. And it's people who just pretend that they've accomplished all these goals that they actually have not accomplished. And maybe it's not as pervasive in health and fitness, but I also see a lot of bogus in the fitness industry. So yeah, I think there's a lot that's something else to keep in mind. So those are our examples of some big mindset wins and mental shifts.
So Leif, before we wrap up, can you give some thoughts on anyone listening to this? How can they achieve mental wins in their own life?
Yeah, so I'll kind of build on the examples that I've been using and say that I really think it ultimately comes down to proving to yourself that you're someone who's going to take action, not just when things are easy, but especially when things are challenging. And for me, one thing that kind of helped me to get started a little bit, I think, is using affirmations, which is something that we talked about. So I found it helpful I got really big into like Tony Robbins and kind of the focus on, and I still love Tony. I think he's got fantastic material. But I would like change my state, kind of how he does with jumping around, or I would use this small trampoline that's I think more commonly known as a rebounder. So it's the primary purpose, or at least it's typically marketed to stimulate your lymphatic system. And so that's originally why I got it. But then I noticed that I just feel rejuvenated every time that I'm kind of jumping around on this. So there was a period in my life, probably a decade ago, where I would kind of just bounce around on this trampoline and just say like affirmations and stuff. In fact, I had an entire wall where I printed out my ultimate identity in great detail. I printed out all these affirmations, like this is who I am, this is what I'm capable of. And I did find some some value in that. So if there were some affirmations, things like, I possess the strength to overcome any challenge that comes my way, or I'm committed to my goals and will achieve them with persistence and hard work, or I face challenges with courage and determination. So I found that to be helpful. And I just wanted to bring that up because that I do feel like that was a little bit of a catalyst for helping to build belief when I really didn't feel like I had it. But with that being said, I think ultimately nothing replaces action.
Correct.
Like you can bounce on a trampoline saying that you're the best for hours a day, but if you don't actually show up and put in the work, then it's not going to mean anything. So what I would recommend is that you create irrefutable evidence that you are capable of accomplishing your goals by showing up every day and taking action, however small that action may be, even on the days when things are not going your way, especially on the days when things are not going your way. So it's taking action in the face of adversity, I would say, is the main thing that allows you to accumulate mental wins and build a growth mindset and break down limiting beliefs and tear down a lack of self-belief. So ultimately, the only person you can count on is yourself. And the only person you can never lie to is also yourself. So the only way that you're going to be able to achieve mental breakthroughs is by putting in the work and proving to yourself that you are someone who takes action. So while something like affirmations or whatever else kind of in the, let's call it the personal development space, may recommend, that is not enough to kind of actually get beyond the starting line. Like that can maybe help you show up to the starting line and get ready to run the race, but it's not going to actually put in the reps or put in the steps. So yeah, the only way that you can achieve those mental wins and that those mental breakthroughs is by putting in the work and proving to yourself that one, your goals actually matter to you. You're not just going to pay lip service to them. And two, you're someone who shows up and takes action, especially in the face of adversity. So you care about your goals and you're going to show up every day and trust the process. Through that journey, you will make mistakes. You will experience failure. You will battle limiting beliefs for months, years, maybe decades. You will be faced with adversity, and it could be a heck of a lot of adversity. And also, your journey is going to look different from anyone else's. So I'm not saying that your journey will not be more challenging than mine or Daphne's, but I mean, ultimately, it's your choice to decide how you're going to respond to that. Even if you have more hardship than the average person or everyone else around you, assuming you can really definitively be able to say that you have more hardship, not maybe knowing all of the details of struggles that other people experience. But even if that is the case, even if you do have it, let's call it harder than other people, ultimately, you're going to need to figure out how to break through those challenges, because your goals are worth it and you deserve to accomplish your goals. And the only person who is going to show up and save you is you.
It's you. That is correct.
So despite all of your setbacks and struggles, you prove to yourself that you deserve your goals, and it probably won't happen as quickly as you want it to. Your goals almost certainly, if there's a few guarantees that I can give you along this journey, it's one, you're going to experience failure. Two, you're going to experience hardship. Three, you're going to experience adversity. And four, you almost certainly won't achieve your goals as quickly as you want to achieve them, or even predict as possible to achieve them. So just know all of that going into it. In the face of all of that, you still show up and you take action. So if you fall in love with the process, if you fall in love with the journey, and you show up both on the easy days and the hard days, really anybody can do it when it's easy. So showing up on the hard days is what distinguishes people who accomplish their goals from people who don't. Then you will build a mindset necessary to overcome any obstacle and achieve whatever you want. So if you're not seeing the physical wins that you want in your health and fitness journey, be sure not to discount the mental wins that you've earned through the process. those are just as important, if not, I would argue, more important than the physical wins. So I hope that this episode inspired you to celebrate your mindset wins and stay committed to your journey, even in the face of adversity. Remember that struggles turn into strength if you focus on showing up every day and pushing through those challenges. So Daphne, do you have any other thoughts you'd like to leave the listeners with?
I would just want to remind everyone about the quote that we started our conversation with. Give me 6 hours to chop down a tree and I will spend the first 4 sharpening the axe. Sharpen that mindset, make it a focus for whatever journey you're on, and you will be stronger for it.
To get access to some of our best content for free, head over to thevegangym.com. We've got tons of articles and guides to help you burn stubborn body fat, build lean muscle, and supercharge your health. You can even use our vegan nutrition calculator for free to figure out how much protein, calories, and micronutrients your body needs. Get started right now at thevegangym.com.